If you have your Bibles, please take your copy and turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in the 15th chapter. We'll be looking at two verses in that chapter in just a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to do something with me after we read the text. I'll read the two verses like we always do. Then I'm going to ask you to pray for something specific before we sit back down and get to the message. I'm just going to ask you to pray for something very intentional and very specific. I believe the Church of West Franklin is at the front end of a very intriguing, exciting season of ministry. I don't really know one word other than exciting and intriguing that I believe will last several months, I hope years, of just seeing some unique gospel work. Let me explain what I mean by that. We're coming off the tails of finally the renovations being complete. They're 95% to 97% complete, waiting on some signs and some furniture, and then it will be done. Still waiting on my nice big recliner for my office. So. Just kidding. But we're almost done with the renovations, and in my opinion, they look fantastic. I love the renovations that have happened here. So we're on the tail end of that. We have a wonderful children's minister who works hard, who has a new children's wing, who has a very attractive children's playground out there that's been totally redone. We have a new student minister who just started, who's all in, that is working hard already and very eager and diligent to work with students. And just as a side note, I feel so strongly and believe so strongly in the next gen and what Nathan and Kelly are doing for our children and students, that bringing some life groups back on campus and offering some adult focus studies on Sunday morning, primarily during the 9 o'clock hour. So while they're in Sunday school, you can attend one of those discipleship times and then worship together in here, because I want you to bring them and I want you to be able to have something where you can grow in the Word. And also on Wednesday nights, the Wednesday night activities that we're providing for children and students, I'm very excited about. And so we're going to be offering various adult options for Bible study and those sorts of things on Wednesday nights, and so super excited about those things. But we're coming on the tail end of that. In the fall of this past year, we did a 6, 7, 8 week series on Barnabas, where we talked about next steps, and you turned in cards where 457 different ministries were marked that you said you wanted to take your next step in. 457 different ministries were marked by you on those cards that you turned in right before Thanksgiving. That's very, very exciting. We had a December to remember, to put it mildly. December was fantastic here at the church at West Franklin. If you came to our Christmas concerts at the beginning of December, there were none better. There are none better. You could go to Opryland and be disappointed after you came to ours. Across all Middle Tennessee, by far, it was incredible. Our numbers and attendance were higher than normal in December. We had baptisms for children and adults in December. We had guests that came and were checking us out throughout December. And on December the 10th, we had $30,000 given to Hope for the World, and our goal was $60,000. As of last week, we had $68,000 given to our Hope for the World offering. You and your generosity for that. I put in about 20K, but you did the rest. Just kidding. Why do I say that? I say that because I believe we have some built-in momentum that I don't want to waste. God has given us a gift, or several gifts, of some strong momentum going into 2019. For all those things I just mentioned and several others. And I want us to recognize that, recognize this season of ministry that we're in, recognize this moment that God's given us. And after I read the text in just a moment, I'm going to give you several seconds to pray while you're still standing by yourself. And I simply want you to say, God, thank you for giving us this moment. And would you show me what it looks like for me next? What do you want me to do to seize this energy that we have? To not let it go to waste, to not let it go in the rearview mirror and us just pass it by. I don't know what that is exactly. I've got a couple of thoughts, but I don't know what it is. But I want to seize it. There's some great things happening, but I believe we're on the front end of some exciting gospel ministry. And so as we start this year off, I just simply want to ask us to pray individually and corporately. God, thank you. Now show us how you want us to seize this opportunity. So hopefully you found Romans 15. I'm going to ask you to stand with me in honor of God's word. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21, give you a few moments to pray silently where you are. I will pray and we will get right to it. Romans 15, beginning with verse 20. This is the Apostle Paul who wrote these words. My aim is to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named, so that I will not build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. Take a few seconds. Pray, thanking God for this moment. Recognize what it is and ask him to show you what he would have you to do with it. Jesus, I believe it's by your design that we are at a season of the life of our church where there's some built-in momentum, some built-in excitement, gifts from you. And I don't know exactly how the future looks, but I want to acknowledge what this season is, thank you for it, and then ask that you show us individually and as a church what you're calling us to not just ride a wave of momentum, but seek to build it stronger for the sake of the kingdom here in Franklin and around the world. May we not waste this season. May we enjoy it, and may we join you in what you're doing. Now speak to us from your word. Give us a gospel ambition like you gave the Apostle Paul. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. What is your gospel ambition? Would you know how to articulate it if someone says, hey, what's your gospel ambition? The Apostle Paul had one. He gave it to us in verse 20 of Romans 15. The Christian Standard Bible translations, he says, my aim. You may have a translation where it says, my ambition. Means strong determination, strong desire, eager to work hard to accomplish something. And Paul had a gospel ambition, and Paul basically said, look, I ache to get the gospel to people who've never heard it. I want to be the first to tell people about Jesus. I want to be the first one to be able to say Jesus, and they want to know about this guy they've never heard of. Said, I don't want to build on somebody else's foundation. I don't want to stay where somebody else has heard about Jesus. I want to go to these places where he's yet to be known. I want to be the first to tell them. Perhaps you know when you have news and you want to share with somebody some of that news. Maybe you saw somebody at Christmas, couldn't wait to tell them certain news. It's like an old woman who likes to gossip. I've got something. Don't you know, or haven't you heard, or you know this, don't you? You want to be the first to let them know. Paul wanted to do that with the gospel, and I think it's okay to gossip the gospel. Paul says, I got this news, and there are people who don't know this yet. I got to tell them. And that was his gospel ambition. And he had a desire. He was a Jew, but he had a desire to tell Gentiles. And so you could make a pretty good argument that we are the result of Paul's gospel ambition. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. And so perhaps if he hadn't had that gospel ambition and acted on it, we wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be here right now. Bill Wilson had a gospel ambition. Say, who's Bill Wilson? Bill Wilson was the founding pastor of Brentwood Baptist Church. Brentwood Baptist is 51 years old, and Brentwood Baptist was a church plant from another church. I'd say that baby grew big. And in Bill Wilson's DNA, Bill Wilson wanted to see more churches planted. Put it in Brentwood's DNA, and now resides that DNA, that gospel ambition resides in Mike Glenn. That desire to see more churches or healthier churches throughout Middle Tennessee. It's the gospel ambition of Bill Wilson, the gospel ambition of Mike Glenn, and we are the result of that. Had they not had that gospel ambition, there's a real good chance the Church of West Franklin wouldn't exist. What's your gospel ambition? There was a small group of believers here about 16, 17 years ago who had a gospel ambition. They said, there's not a church on the west side of Franklin. Not a good one. There's not a church on the west side of Franklin. Not a Southern Baptist church. And they got wind, this small group of believers, they had a gospel ambition to make a gospel impact on the west part of Franklin, and they got word that there was this little development starting about 16 years ago. Perhaps you've heard of it, West Haven. And they said, there's this huge development being planned not very far from here. What if we started a church here and we're a gospel impact? And they had a gospel ambition. There's a reason this campus, this church sits halfway between downtown Franklin and West Haven off Highway 96, because a small group of believers had a gospel ambition to make a gospel impact here. We're the result of that. We're the result of someone's gospel ambition. Someone's desire to communicate the gospel to people who didn't have it or where it needed to spread further. What's yours? What is your gospel ambition? I have a real good feeling that you are a direct result of someone's gospel ambition. We've already talked about being here as a church and being here as a campus, but what about you being a believer? Somebody had a gospel ambition to tell you about Jesus. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, maybe it was a pastor, maybe it was an evangelist, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a coworker, but someone had a gospel ambition to tell you about Jesus, and that's why you are here. What's yours? Would you know how to articulate it? Notice I said gospel ambition, not just ambition. Everybody's got ambitions. There's nothing wrong with having ambition, but most ambitions are selfish, if we're honest. I want to make $1 million by the time I'm 40. Now, that didn't happen. I want to run for 100 yards rushing in a game. I have an ambition to be this in a company by such and such. All those are fine. Nothing wrong with ambitions, but those are kind of inward ambitions. I'm not talking about those kinds of ambitions. When I say gospel ambition, it means you have a drive, a burden, a determination to help someone else understand the gospel. It's not for you, it's for them. It's for someone else. It's a gospel ambition that says, I have a strong desire in my bones to help someone who either doesn't know the gospel yet, or someone who doesn't really understand how the gospel fits in this part of their life, or some shape, way, form, fashion, something that's going on that's in you that you want to help somebody understand who Jesus is better. Paul's North Star was easy. He said it. It's not everybody's North Star. Not everybody says, I'm going to go to where the gospel hadn't been before, but it was his. He did other things. It wasn't the only thing he did, but that was what, when he got up in the morning, he said, that's what I'm going to do. That's really why he wrote the book of Romans. They were wanting him to come. He's like, I can't get there yet. I got to go places that hadn't heard about Jesus yet. That's why he wrote the book. And to ask for a little missions money, it doesn't hurt. Maybe it does. What's yours? Would you know how to articulate it? If somebody said to you, hey, you're a Christian, right?
Yep.
What's your gospel ambition? How would you reply? I believe your gospel ambition meets in the middle of frustration and gift. You go, well, what do you mean? There's probably about something about this church or about the church in general or about the state of Christianity that drives you nuts. You can't stand it that it's going on. You get so mad, you blame everybody. I know because you tell me. You get mad and you just blame it. It just drives you nuts, and it drives you nuts that somebody else isn't just as passionate as you are. You're so frustrated this isn't happening that your gospel ambition is probably where frustration and how God's wired you meet. You're looking for somebody else to do it. It's a gospel ambition. It drives you crazy, and yet it's how you're wired. That's where it starts. There's a reason God's called you to this church and it's driving you crazy. Because he's picked you. And he's given you a gospel ambition. Some people have a gospel ambition that stays with them for life. Some people have different gospel ambitions, I believe, that are different seasons. My goal this morning for the next few minutes is to help you identify what your gospel ambition is for at least the season of 2019. What is it? What is your gospel ambition? How would you answer that question if someone were to ask? And here's the outline for the next few moments that we have together. And just, if you're asking the question, how can I know my gospel ambition? Some of you do know, so I hope this will just clarify it for you. Some of you don't, and I'm going to help get you started. Here's the outline. You ask, you look and lean, and you join. You ask, you look and lean, and you join. You ask, you look and lean, and you join. I say that over and over again, so hopefully it'll go with you. And so tomorrow when you wake up, like, what did the preacher talk about? Ask, look and lean, and join. Let me unpack that a bit. What do I mean? How do you know what your gospel ambition is? Paul knew what his was. He wanted to be the first one to tell the gospel. Didn't want to build on somebody else's. He wanted to go where someone had never heard about Jesus before. What's yours? Ask. Ask who? Ask the Father. Doesn't he say, you have not because you... Yeah. We have not because we ask not. Do you think God is in heaven saying, I don't want to tell him how I've wired them for the gospel? No. He wants to make it known. When was the last time you said, God, why have you put me here for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? He's going to make that known to you. He's going to communicate that to you. Ask him to show you. This morning before I came here, I was meditating on Psalm 16. The last verse of Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you have made known to me the path of life. David wrote that and he says, God, you revealed to me the path you want me on, the path for my life. He's going to show you that. I'm not saying, God, show me your will for my life. That's a different prayer. This prayer is, God, what's the gospel ambition you've put in my heart? I believe he'll show you. Couple that with asking yourself a question. Ask yourself this, what is breaking your heart in the world? And what are you doing about it? It's our spiritual challenge questions. We talked about this some last fall. It's a very powerful question. And it's going to look different for just about everybody in this room. What breaks your heart as you look upon the state of this church, as you look upon the state of the church at large, when you look upon the state of Christianity, when you look across the world, what breaks your heart? What grieves you? What saddens you? What causes you to just be in angst and ache over when you think about this over the world? Not something you wish you were more sad about, something that you are grieving about. Not somebody that you saw on Facebook be grieving about and you just keep scrolling and you think, oh, I should be sad about that. Not that. You. You. What's that burden God's put in you? So say, God, what is it? Reveal to me what's the gospel ambition. You gave Paul a gospel ambition. What's this gospel ambition you've given me? And then ask yourself, as you're doing that, what is breaking my heart in the world? How has God wired you? It probably has something to do with the way you were brought up or something you've experienced later on in life. There's a particular kind of people that struggle with something and you've seen how the gospel transforms that and you're burdened that they don't know this. Something of that nature, perhaps. Ask. Second, look and lean. Look and lean. Look around and lean into the hard thing. Look around and lean into the hard thing. It's how great. Here comes the hard stuff. Church, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. If it were easy, I wouldn't need a sermon on it. If it were easy, we wouldn't have to talk about it. And that thing, that gospel ambition that God's put in your heart, it's probably that thing that you know God's called you to, but you don't want to tell somebody because the second you make it known, then you're going to have to do something about it. Your gospel ambition is on the other side of comfortable and easy. You say, why do you say that? Do you think it was easy for the Apostle Paul to pick up stakes and go to city, culture to culture? He didn't just go to one place, but he went over and over to different places, learn a new language, learn a different culture, learn what they worshiped, say bye to his friends, make new friends, say bye to his friends, not be welcome, say bye to his friends, go to jail. But it was a burden, it was a passion, it was a gospel ambition. And he said, I know it's not easy, but I can't help it. I have to do something about this. God's put it in me. And yes, it's hard, but I must do it. Paul could have so easily stayed where he was, discipled the churches, which would have been fine. That's some people's gospel ambition. He could have stayed there and helped make other churches right where he was. But he wouldn't have been following Jesus and the gospel ambition Jesus placed in his heart if he had done that. Listen, church, it's easy to be a good Christian and not follow Jesus. It's possible to look like a good church-going Christian, especially here in Tennessee, and never follow Jesus. And you say, there's a gospel ambition in my heart that I need to follow, but I'm not going to because it's hard. I'm just going to go do these four or five easy religious things, and everybody will think that I'm a good Christian. Believe you me, I know. I wrote the book on it. I know that game. Gospel ambition is what God's put in your heart, and your gospel ambition is on the other side of comfortable and easy. It's hard. What's yours? Which brings me to the last one. After you look and lean into that which is hard, join. You ask, you look and lean, and you join. You say what? Join what? Join God in what he's already doing. Join God in what he is already doing. He's already at work. You're just joining him in it. See, I don't want to close this sermon off and you hear and say, well, pastor said I better do something hard, so I better go find something that's hard to do and just make it rough. And send him an email and say, I did something hard, but it's awful. Listen, that's not the end of the story. Because usually, after you look and lean into that thing that's hard, your gospel ambition, after you lean into that thing that's hard, that's where you're going to find life and joy. That's where you're going to find that's where God is. God is. You're going to know what your gospel ambition is when you're doing that hard thing that he's called you to and you find that he's there with you, that you experience his pleasure, that you experience his presence. That's what happens when you go with your gospel ambition that he's placed you in and he's called you to. You step into that hard moment and you find that he's there waiting on you. And that's where life and joy is. It's not the status quo. It's where he is. You say, well, where do you get that? Well, it's interesting to me what Paul says. His line of reasoning after he says, my ambition is to go where nobody's heard the name of Jesus. If I'm writing the book of Romans, you know what I would think his argument would be after that? Because if you don't know Jesus and you die, you spend an eternity in hell. And so I'm going to where people have never heard the name Jesus so that when they die, they won't spend an eternity in hell and so they can have peace with God right now. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, wouldn't you? It makes sense, right? I'm going to go where nobody's heard the name Jesus before. And I would think he would say, because if they die without Jesus, they spend an eternity in hell. And I'm sure that factored into it, but that's not what he said. That was not the reasoning. That wasn't his motivation, according to Romans 15:21. Look what he says. He's so Paul. He quotes the Old Testament. Like, thanks. He goes deep into the Old Testament. He goes, here's why. Here's why I'd have this gospel ambition. Look what he says. He quotes Isaiah 52. He says, but it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. He goes back and he quotes the prophet Isaiah 700 and something years earlier. And he goes, don't you understand what Isaiah said? Isaiah said that there'll be those who've never heard the gospel before, and they're going to see it. And there'll be those who have never responded to the gospel before, and they're going to understand. God promised years and years ago that those who have never heard, they'd see it and they'd understand it. They just need someone to preach the gospel to them. That's what I'm going to do. In other words, his motivation was, God said it was going to happen. He's going to do it. I'm going to join him in it. You say, why have a gospel ambition? Why lean into the hard thing? Because that's where God is. Paul knew if he went there, it would never fail. When you do anything for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ to advance, whether it's someone who's never heard or whether it's helping someone understand it in a way they never understood it before, that will never, ever fail. And I'm simply saying, your gospel ambition, you'll know you're living in it when you feel the pleasure of God in it. So what's yours? It's going to be hard. I believe God's called the church of West Franklin to hard things. Any church can do easy stuff. I believe God's called the church of West Franklin and entrusted us with hard things. How do I know? Exhibit A. What county are we in? Starts with William, ends with son. Williamson. Everybody knows that Williamson County is very wealthy. And did you know that God said in the person of his son Jesus, it is very difficult, very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? That doesn't give us a pass. That's just Jesus' way of saying it ain't going to be easy. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it. It's going to be hard. But there's another reason I say God has entrusted the church at West Franklin with hard things. Because you know the fastest growing people group in Middle Tennessee is the least reached people in all the world. The fastest growing people group in Middle Tennessee are South Asians. People from India and surrounding countries. The fastest growing. And they are the least reached people in all the planet. You say, well, how is that hard? Well, there's a reason they're not reached. Because it's hard. And yet, you can't go into Target without seeing them. You can't leave your neighborhood without seeing them. God has brought them to us. It's hard. God has called the church at West Franklin, I believe, to hard things. And I believe he's giving you a gospel ambition. I do. I believe he's put it in your heart. It may be a next door neighbor that you're just burdened for. It may be coworkers that you're just burdened for. It may be a group of parents when you're on the team where your kid plays soccer or football and there's a group of parents that you're just burdened for. It may be a group of people in your neighborhood. It may be people that you go to the gym with. It may be people under your own roof and you're just burdened for your kids to not just pray a prayer and get dunked, but to follow Jesus. It may be that you've now been married 30, 40, 50 years and you see how the gospel transforms your marriage, and you see these young couples and you so long for them to understand how Jesus transforms their marriage. You're just burdened for that. It may be that you're walking with God with a mental illness, and you just got this mental illness that's just driving you crazy, and you pray, God, take it away, take it away, take it away, and he won't. But through all this, he's shown you how rich he is, how wonderful he is, and you don't know why he hasn't taken it away yet, but you've had peace in the middle of the junk, and you long for other people who have a mental illness that you know they have to understand that Jesus can join you in the middle of it. I was reading in the paper last night that one of the initiatives that the mayor of Franklin has in 2019 is to talk more and help more with those with mental illness. And I said, I applaud him. And I said, that's great. I agree with you. I think you're right. This is such an epidemic. But then I thought, it's not his job. It's the church's job. It's amazing to me how many of us struggle with mental illness, but we don't want to talk about it here with brothers and sisters in Christ who love us. And maybe that's your burden. I don't know. I could go on and on and on. But what's your gospel ambition? I want to suggest one to you as we close. This may or may not be your gospel ambition, but I can't preach this text without at least bringing it to your attention. Might your gospel ambition be South Asians? You say, you've already mentioned them. Why do you talk about them so much? Well, I don't talk about them nearly enough, to be honest. And I would love for the end of 2019 if there's a church in Cool Springs filled with South Asians and they say, we are the result of a gospel ambition of a group of people at the church at West Franklin. Wouldn't that be cool? And they invite us over for chai and chicken biryani. Wouldn't that be awesome? I want you to look at this next slide. That represents Christianity around the world. Green represents reached. Red represents no access. Where is it the heaviest red? South Asia. India. It's not just red, it's dark red, which means zero access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I make it my aim to go where he's not been known. You say, well, we've got people that don't know Jesus here. You're exactly right. Let's go tell them about Jesus. But people here have access to the gospel. They can turn on the radio and hear K-Love. They can drive by a church. They can have an invite from you and go to church. By the way, the two ladies that I baptized earlier were invited by one of you to come to church here. That's how it happens. Yes, 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 and yes. But you go to Bangalore, India, you go to India, they don't drive by a church. They don't turn on the radio and hear K-Love. They have zero access. If they wanted to have access to the gospel, they couldn't have it. It's not there. And so, might God give you a gospel ambition? You know why they're so unreached? Because it's hard. It's hard to get there. It's a plane ride for a tall person like me that just ain't fun. I can't afford first class, and so I feel like a sardine for about 20 hours. And then I eat that nasty food on the plane. And the food there in India, some of it's good, but some of it ain't. And there are people that use bathrooms on the side of the road. It's nasty in India. It's gross. It's disgusting. It costs a lot to get there. You have to take a week vacation. It's hard. It's not get in the car and just take a nice ride and go do your thing and come back. It's hard. And God hurts for them so bad that he's sending them some here. And we have an opportunity to go there and here. You say, well, what are we going to do about it? Man, I'm so glad you asked. You're asking great questions here in 2019. Hopefully when you walked in, you received one of these. If not, take one on your way out. This is information about South Asia that we're giving ourselves to in the year 2019 here at the church at West Franklin. I want to encourage you to grab one of these. If you don't have one, again, get one on the way out. Take two or three of them so you don't lose them, in case you lose one. One of us, we send teams to Bangalore. We've got a missionary family that we're working with in Bangalore. We try to send two or three teams a year. We've got another team being planned, scheduled to go late next month in February. There's a couple other dates on here. We don't have anybody signed up yet for the trip in February. You know why? Because it's hard. And I wonder if God may be calling you. You say, well, I can't afford it. If God calls you to go, you say yes and watch what he does. Do you know he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? And if he owns all that, he's going to take care of that rest. So that's one way. Another way is every month we're starting to pray for an unreached, unengaged people group. Perhaps you've seen these cards floating around. Our missions minister, Tiffany Marshall, she's got a bunch more and she can give these to you. We pray for an unreached, unengaged people group once a month. You say, well, what's an unreached, unengaged people group? Exactly what it sounds like. Zero access to the gospel. And we get this. The state of India has 29 states. That's the state of that's the country of India has 29 states. Where we're sending teams is South India. That's where Bangalore is. It's called the state of Karnataka. Now get this. In that one state alone, there are 69 unreached, unengaged people groups that have over 10,000 people in population. which means there are a lot more unengaged, unreached people groups. There are just 69 that have over 10,000 in population. Mind-boggling. Zero access to the gospel. If we prayed for a people group a week, it would take us almost a year and a half to pray for every unreached, unengaged people group, and that would just be those that averaged over 10,000 in number. This month, we're praying for the Bunia peoples. They are 30 million strong. Don't know Jesus. They're Hindus, and they worship Vishnu. You say, I hadn't heard of Vishnu. You know why? Because he doesn't exist. And so we're going to be praying that God open the eyes of their hearts and God send us to go. Perhaps you saw on the bottom of this card something else we're doing. We've got one of our own who's leaving on a plane tomorrow at 3:15 to go to Bangalore, India for an entire month. She's been to India three times with our teams. God's given her a gospel ambition for South Asians. Perhaps you've seen her here leading worship on stage. Perhaps you've seen her as you've gone through the line at Costco. She works with South Asians and she checks South Asians out all the time as she works the cash register there in Costco. Alisa Painter will be leaving tomorrow because God's called her, a single female, to go to one of the hardest countries in the world to do ministry mission work for those who don't know Jesus. She's going to be doing work for us to help us get on the ground there to see what else we could be doing as we go there. In just a moment, we're going to pray over Alisa and send her out as a church family. We're going to lay our hands on her and send her out and pray for her. Alisa, as a matter of fact, why don't you go and stand up here? And Dee, you can stand with her, please. Dee's one of her best friends. This is Alisa first. Dee is behind her there with the glasses on. And we're going to gather around her and pray for her as she leaves tomorrow for a month to go with her gospel ambition. At the end of this prayer, after we've spent some time praying silently as a congregation, I'm asking our missions minister, Tiffany Marshall, if she would lead, vocalize the prayer out loud as we're dismissed. Tiffany has been our missions minister here for a little over a year, but God has recently called her to go to India full time. She's called to work with females there in India. Long story, long struggles, but God's given Tiffany a gospel ambition. We don't, not just a month, we don't know how long she'll be there. Could be a year, could be the rest of her life. But God's called another single female to go to India to do gospel work with other females that have never heard the name Jesus Christ. We'll be talking more about that in the weeks to come, but I've asked her to pray for Alisa out loud after we've given you a few moments to pray. What's your gospel ambition? What would you say if someone asks? What you gonna do about it? After Tiffany prays, we'll be dismissed. But if you feel comfortable enough, I'm going to invite you to come and gather around Alisa. Let's lay hands on her and pray for her. And after a few moments, Tiffany will pray and we'll be dismissed. If you're interested in going to India, see Tiffany. Send Tiffany an email. She'll be more than happy to talk with you further about these things. I'll give you a few moments to pray. Then we'll pray aloud and we'll be dismissed.